a campaign that came from nowhere. But we were joined by neighbors and friends of all races, of all religions, of all ages, of all political ideologies. And it turned into a movement. This stopped being a campaign long ago. This is the spirit of Virginia coming together like never before. The spirit of Washington and Jefferson and Madison and Monroe and Patrick Henry, of Virginians standing up and taking our Commonwealth back.
Joe Thomas in the morning, post-election day, and excuse some of us, but there have been quite a few of these post-election days where the after-action report has been a lot of finger-pointing and what happened and how did and what could have possibly caused. So, for once, since 2009, it's been since we've been able to enjoy a statewide race. Now I'd like to see some county races, some board of supervisor races, things like that, if you really want the spirit of 2009 to come back. But those who supported Glenn Youngkin, give them a break, because they also, I'm sure, supported Daniel Gade and Ed Gillespie and George Allen and Jim Gilmore and all of our statewide candidates who have tried and come up short in years prior to this, Corey Stewart. So, there have been an awful lot in the 14 years you and I have been doing this program together, more frequently than not the morning after the night before has been a sort of big hug, and it's still sun coming up in the same place in the sky, and it's with that I approach a morning like this as well. Okay, so we have a governor, and it's not one that I have to worry about, selling visas to members of the Chinese Communist Party to help raise money for his car company. But that being said, doesn't mean everyone's perfect, and doesn't mean everything is any more or less amazing on this planet than God has gifted us with before. So we'll get into that. My wife is all over me about this. She's like, why were you being so down during your broadcast last night? I said, because we've been to this rodeo before. We've apparently established that 57-41 is a wide enough margin for the early returns for a Republican to hold on to it, because it was about 11 o'clock. The lead stopped getting smaller and stabilized for a while, and then started actually getting larger again before finally some of the news networks started calling the race, and even Terry McAuliffe grudgingly said, I want to make sure every ballot is counted. What, Terry? You want to make sure every ballot is counted? Why, you're a threat to our democracy! But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me? Good morning. You're on the air with Joe Thomas in the morning. Who's this?
Happy day, Joe Thomas. Hey. Congratulations. It's Chris. And, man, I am so glad that you're on the air this morning.
Well, Joe, it was only for the want of a comfy chair in my office. I said, you know what? It's 1 o'clock something in the morning, and it's just about time for me to try to get at least 2 hours sleep. So if there are any gaps, and this is a public service announcement, I'm sort of like driving under a tunnel in the old days of AM radio. If you ever get to a point where there just doesn't seem to, like all of a sudden, where'd Joe go? Just fill in, jump in and say something, because I've probably, my mind has chased a squirrel down the road somewhere. So, by the way.
I'm glad you got some sleep. I'll tell you what, I called in to talk about tiki torches, okay?
Okay. And
when you have a party, a Democrat Party that is willing to plant some of their people next to a bus of their political opponent and have them hold tiki torches like the guys that were storming the lawn of UVA a few years back.
While a trial.
In order to besmirch the character of their opponent, their political opponent, these are not the kind of people that you want anywhere near public office. McAuliffe did not condemn that behavior. It was determined that the Lincoln Project were the people that dressed up to be white supremacists, so-called, holding tiki torches right next to Youngkin's bus here in Charlottesville.
Actually, can I correct you real quick? Now, hang on, Chris. They were actually Democrat Party members that were hired by the Lincoln Project.
This is the kind of behavior of people that are unmoored from civility. They don't understand why people go to church. They don't understand why people want authority over their children as parents. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't understand why we want our children away from marijuana. We want our children away from pornography.
Clear-headed.
We want our children to be to keep their innocence as long as possible so that they can have good formation of their character. People like Sabato don't understand this. I heard him lie on the TV last night saying that critical race theory is not being taught in Virginia schools.
Yeah.
He's a liar and a fraud.
Yeah, that was
we don't
a
want
MSNBC
these kinds thing. Of people, and we don't want these kind of people in our universities. We don't want this kind of people in our governments. We don't want this kind of people in our schools. We don't want them in our businesses. We want them to go learn how to be adults and how to be responsible with freedom. And these Democrats are not responsible with freedom. You can take your tiki torch and you can put it where the sun don't shine. And I'm glad you got smacked in the face last night, and I hope you get a lot more smacks because you do not deserve power in this country. Go move to Venezuela where you belong. Take their statues down.
God bless you, Chris. Have a great morning, sir. Thank you for jumping in.
Take care.
Need to know what game is on tonight?
A shot, he scores!
Pitch, swing, and a line drive deep down.
Check out the full Seville sports schedule online at WCHV.com.
And so I say to you, victory indeed. But I say to you, there are some who want to divide us, and we must not let that happen. They would like us to believe we are back in 1963 when my father came. We can live where we want. We can eat where we want. We own the water fountains. We have had a black president elected not once but twice, and here I am, living proof.
That is Winsome Sears from last night, and again on the air here at WCHV, because, well, I was staying. I mean, at that point, as the lead kept doing what leads do, and I must say, it behaved just like every statewide election in the 14 years I've been here. And I don't mean to sound jaded about it, but there, you know, Glenn Youngkin was almost 60-40 ahead of Terry McAuliffe. And then little by little, it got down. I think it got down to as little as 50,000 votes and a percentage point in change. And then it leveled off. And then same thing with Winsome Sears over Hala Ayala and Jason Meares over Mark Herring. See what I mean about these blank spots in here? I feel like that thumb drive that was corrupted up in Fairfax County with all the absentee ballots on it, gee, that's not a problem. Or all the missing ballots in Albemarle County. Not missing, but just the fact they didn't have enough. I'm looking around to see if there are any tightly contested races in Albemarle that could have been impacted by those. It looks like Chris Runyon won his seat back, his representation back pretty handily. That's got to be fixed. You can't run out of ballots like that. Let me get to you at 434-964-1075. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Joe. How are you doing this morning? It's Brian.
Hey, Brian. Good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Man, I'm a whole lot better than what I was yesterday.
A little anxious yesterday, a little, the year of campaigning had gotten to you a little bit.
Woo, let me tell you. But what I don't understand, looking at the map, how does all those very few blue spots tell the rest of us red spots what the heck to do?
Because
it's
they're
like hard for me to believe just looking at it. I know the percentage of people that live there, but it's like, I just don't get it. You know, I'm glad Northern Virginia actually saw the light for once in their life and voted with us, with the rest of the, you know,
little
state.
Bit.
But, yep. But
it was
like, why do all of y'all have say about the rest of us? Now you know why West Virginia kind of seceded, you know. But nobody.
Well, you know, look at this. There were a couple of notes in here to what you're saying. So, you know, in VPAP compiled this. So not necessarily that Glenn Youngkin won some of these places, but he picked up 7 percentage points in Fairfax County over 2017. He picked up 9 points in Loudoun County, 9 percentage points. And he didn't win either of those counties, but he said, I just need about 5% improvement in some of these places, and I win. And here's the thing. Here's the downside of that little blue crescent that goes from Loudoun County and Fairfax through Richmond down to Hampton Roads. You lose any of those votes and you're Terry McAuliffe, there is no place else except maybe Albemarle County and Charlottesville to go to try to recoup those votes. You can't make them up somewhere else in the state because, as you said, it's red everywhere else that you go. But these population centers, just like Jefferson warned us, rife for the kind of European corruption, but you know, especially Loudoun County, almost a 10% increase in decrease in the margin in between 2017 and 2021, and I think a lot of that had to do with the school issues.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I really like. I think 2 weeks ago I called in, maybe a little more, but I was like, no, how come Youngkin doesn't get some people to come in heavy hitters and stump for him? But you know what? I was wrong. He played this game right. I mean, he kept everybody. He kept it to himself. So I'm from Virginia. I'm going to win for Virginia. I am Virginia. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have all these other people coming in. And he did the right thing by doing that. You know, McAuliffe, he just opened his mouth too much. And, you know, one thing, again, a lot of people didn't think about, McAuliffe never had a tax plan. He never had a way for Virginia to get back on top.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any of that. And he would never talk about anything like that other than, no, Youngkin's like Trump. Well,
yeah.
You know, he's like Clinton. And, you know, and he's not going to help the country either. He's like Obama. He didn't help the country either. He's the one guy that's kind of in the mess.
Well,
you know, so I think it all worked against him.
I think so. And then by the end, he forgot that by the time he was out on the stage with Joe Biden the last time, Donald Trump was more popular in Virginia than Joe Biden, while Joe Biden is up there saying, this Youngkin guy's just like Trump. And a lot of Virginians were like, yeah, we kind of wish we had 2020 over again, too. So,
Yeah. Well, thank you, Joe. You have a good day, my friend.
You too, my friend. I'm glad you're feeling better this morning. 434-964-1075. Emails to Joe at WCHV.com. But understand, I mean, yeah, and you see it right there. Loudoun County, 9.4% increase in Republican or decrease in the margin, 7.3% in Fairfax County. Terry can't make those votes up anywhere else in the county. But we'll get into that. But, you know, there are also things to work on because this is as much Terry's loss or the Democrats' loss as it's a win.
Stand up for dissident journalism.
Victor Lasler is on that plane.
Why do you stand here? Why don't you stop?
Joe Thomas in the morning on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
We'll be right back.
Joe Thomas in the morning and in the morning after, the night before, and subtext, and we're going to get into, you know, the local, the school board races, because there's a lot more here, and obviously the basking, and I'm not denying anyone, you know, out of the 14 years that you and I have been spending our mornings together, mornings like this have been few and far between, so I'm not going to begrudge nor be a, what did my wife call me, a Debbie Downer? Because I was just trying to be cautious. We were watching the typical erosion of a Republican's lead as Fairfax and Loudoun and all those places. But now I ran down, you know, the gains that were made in those areas. In Fairfax County, 7.3% increase for the Republican. Now, it didn't mean he won Fairfax, but he lost it by a whole lot less, which means there's no place in the Commonwealth for a candidate like Terry McAuliffe to go look for those votes outside of Charlottesville. What did I tell you a week and a half ago? There was a reason Terry was holding unending numbers of rallies in Charlottesville. Loudoun County, 9.4% gain there. Does that mean he won it? No, he didn't, but... Prince William County, 6.8% increase for the Republican. Virginia Beach City, not only was it a 13% swing, it actually flipped from Democrat winning Virginia Beach City to Glenn Youngkin winning Virginia Beach City. Radford flipped from an 11.6% win for Ralph Northam to a 9.3% win for Glenn Youngkin. Montgomery County, I know a little bit, for a while we were simulcasting down this way, Blacksburg and all that, 9.3% Democrat win for Ralph Northam in 2017, 2021, Glenn Youngkin carried it. These are places Terry McAuliffe has, and as Brian pointed out, this, Virginia looks redder than Alabama. When you just look at the counties and how they went, but those blue ones are really populous. But if you lose 10% of Loudoun County, 7% of Fairfax County, 6% of Prince William County, you completely lose Virginia Beach, you lose 13 percentage points, and lose Chesapeake City. I told you he was losing the handle of the sickle. Lose 13% out of Norfolk. You can't get those votes back anywhere else. Newport News, 10% swing. Now, some of these places, they just close the margin up. But those are votes Terry McAuliffe can't get back in all those other places. So that is the model to win in Virginia. But the model is really, as I've always said, is go everywhere, meet everyone. Be engaged. You know, one of the things that, you know, for a little bit I was concerned because Glenn, you know, right after he got the nomination, it's overwhelming. And you're trying to get a grasp on the issues. But as time went on, he seemed as an executive function to grasp issues and be able to talk issues individually. So we'll see how this is going to go once the General Assembly convenes. That's the next point. So, the Republican Party flipped 6 seats. They went into last night's election. 45 seats were held by Republicans and 55 seats in the House were held by Democrats. We told you the story about Chris Hurst being cited for driving without a license while he was driving around a campaign staffer to go vandalize his opponent's yard signs. Well, that didn't work so well. He lost by 10, almost 11 points. So your guns are that many votes safer. But the House of Delegates is now back to Republican majority again, which means folks like Rob Bell are on, you know, are chairs of committees again and can decide who's on the committee. So when Kathy Tran's crazy bills come up, you know, there's a Todd Gilbert to knock it down. So they flipped back, but they didn't flick all. A lot of those, they did not flip all the way back. But there are some close places where it could work. And the Republicans didn't lose any of their seats, including the one that had been held by Kirk Cox and the one that had been held by Jason Meares. So what's going to happen is, and this is my prediction, so mark this down, November 3rd, when the General Assembly convenes and after the State of the Commonwealth address by Glenn Youngkin, he's going to start working on senators. He's going to start working on members of the House to build bigger coalitions. He's going to get people crossing the aisle. I predict Glenn Youngkin's 4 years is going to see more Democrats caucusing with Republicans on issues than you've seen before. Chap Peterson is going to be the Virginia Senate's version of Joe Manchin. That's my I'm just saying, put it down here. I'm no Jimmy Breslin, although I've been called a racist too. Let me see what you've got on your mind this post-election day morning. Good morning. Who's this?
Johnny Reb.
Hey, Johnny Reb. I tell you what, hearing your voice, I know that you've got more to say than just the moments here would allow. So let me do my break here, and you just hang on, and you'll have the floor when we come back.
Sure, thanks.
All right. So there you go, sports fans. Now that's what we call in the business. A tease.
The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the morning on anything.
What do you make out of this?
Really?
What a bro.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
All that I ask for, all that I need, is someone that I can believe.
Before we get to Johnny Reb, just keep in mind that this is, as all races are, there's as much, you know, on Terry McAuliffe losing a race as there was on Hillary Clinton losing a race in 2016, and that can't be discarded either, otherwise you're setting yourself up to fail. Thank you for hanging on, Johnny Reb. So what's your thoughts on this post-election day morning?
2 minutes and two cases. I'm so delighted with the sanity of the people of Virginia versus where I left 20 years ago, California.
Mm.
But I've got two pair of military millennial parents who I know are ecstatic, and here's why. In one case, they have 10 and 15-year-old children. They're both active-duty officers in the Army. They have been spending 20 extra hours a week chauffeuring their kids out of Albemarle County, way west of Stanton, to a private Christian school to get away from the Albemarle County school system.
A lot of parents, yeah.
Hopefully they can come back with Youngkin. I'm delighted with his educational commitment. The other case I saw today, a 9-year-old girl, active duty father, military Marines, who is new here and has been having a disastrous semester in a Richmond public school. She has an isolated problem with dyslexia, brilliant otherwise. I know that because I evaluated her. But the mother has been fruitlessly banging her head against the wall all semester, trying to get an adequate evaluation and an individualized, you know, the IEP plan, but they're totally unwilling to do it because they don't have the resources or motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So the kid has been entirely inappropriately shuttled into these smaller groups that she feels are for dummies, and it's causing her to have significant anxiety symptoms suddenly for the first time in her life. The parents are in despair, but they can't necessarily afford a private school.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a governor with the right values who stands by his campaign priorities, then people like this, serving our country, their kids won't fall through the cracks because they'll get a good public school education. So I'm thrilled.
Yeah, and to hear him actually say school choice in an acceptance speech for a major executive branch office was stunning, and it really kind of was like a cold smack in the face, not in a bad way, but just bracing, because usually elected officials, Johnny, you will say, oh, yeah, I'm for her, yeah, yeah. And then when you press them, they're like, well, yeah, we're going to have a focus group with a subcommittee, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to go to the homestead, and we're going to have a think tank. And you know, but there he is in the middle of his acceptance speech and says the phrase school choice.
14K, exactly.
And Winsome Sears said frequently on this show, you know, money follows the child's school choice, which is the phrase that kind of has to be there because of the Virginia Act for Religious Freedom. So if you say that mom, it's mom's money or dad's money to choose how it's used, rather than just saying, oh, we're going to give government money to a parochial school, you get around those Blaine Amendment kind of thing. So, yeah, it is a heady day.
And I'm so pleased that Youngkin is emphasizing he wants going into public school education to be a career path that's attractive to qualified, motivated people. And he wants to give them the jobs and the financial incentive because, you know, that would be a wonderful thing if Virginia was to lead the way to this country, start putting the public education school teachers on the pedestal where they belong. I would have been one if I could have made a living at it.
Oh, sure, absolutely. And I think it's a gift. I've said this to teachers who've called in here, and I'm not pandering. I mean, you know, I stand in front of people who are disinterested all the time, and it's very stressful. But when you start talking about adolescents and pre-adolescents who have no interest in being there, much rather be somewhere else, that's not something somebody does just because they want the attention. It's a calling to be a great teacher, and we don't
absolutely. Watching our young military parents see their kids go through the cracks and in total despair is just obscene.
Yeah. Well, and he seems very keyed into, certainly with veterans, to make sure that they're getting their due, which, again,
absolutely,
is, you know, overdue as well. Well, thank you, Johnny.
And I can tell you this in conclusion. When I go to my son's Confederate Veterans chapter in Shenandoah next month, there are going to be some very happy campers.
Well, you know, and again, history is history. I mean, and you know this. If you can't sugarcoat the bad stuff and make it better. But in the same way, if you don't learn from the history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I know it's axiomatic, but it's sadly what we're trying to do. And appreciate it as always. Well, good stuff as always, my friend. You have a great morning. Stay warm.
Thanks.
434-964-1075. I said this at the onset, though. Also, let's not forget. Because what's going to happen? Probably starting at about 9 o'clock, is people are all going to say, oh, what does this mean to the midterms? You're already hearing some of the prognosticators in the news saying, what does this mean towards the midterms? And something. It's about the people. It gets dehumanized when you just say, oh, well, this means the Democrats are going to lose these many seats. Well, not if they have good candidates who resonate with their voters. You know, and this is going to be controversial, but and he may not still be the same guy he was back in the day. But if Tom Perriello was running against Glenn Youngkin, I think we have a different result. At least the Tom Perriello that ran when he first went into the 5th congressional district. You know, because he, like Glenn Youngkin, has no compunction about wearing out the shoe leather and meeting as many human beings as he can. And talking to them. Now, again, that may have changed in the intervening, and it's been 11 years since he held elected office around here. But guys like that, I mean, you can't just say, oh, it's a Republican revival. No, it's about the people. It's about the people, and you can't dehumanize it. You have to understand that this has got as much to do with Terry McAuliffe being somebody that the Democrats didn't want to vote for, as much as it meant that Glenn Youngkin was somebody that some Democrats probably wanted to vote for. And 2016 and 2020 were also examples of that.
Being tuned in means Joe Thomas now. Lars Larson at 6. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
The largest education budget in the history of the Commonwealth. We're going to invest in teachers, new facilities, special education. We're going to introduce choice within our public school system.
Listen to the roar of that crowd in there.
How about that choice within the public school system?
And then he goes back and...
We're going to start with 20 charter schools, and we are going to make a down payment and close the gap on giving parents an opportunity to select where their kids go to school. Friends,
that's three times he mentions school choice in his acceptance speech last night. So he can't say, oh, you misunderstood. He can't say, oh, I misspoke. He can't backtrack the way so many. But I have a feeling, and I said this to Stephen Moore on Friday, is Glenn Youngkin, just a question for you, ruminate on it. Don't knee-jerk reaction on it. Is Glenn Youngkin, policy-wise, you know, potentially, all the policy without the bombast of Donald Trump? And if that's the case, is that what, you know, is needed? Is the person, it was George Washington, all the policy and all the deal-making without the bombast? Because I talked to a lot of people who are like, well, Trump was this, and most of it was driven by his bombast. Anyway, Dr. Clark wants to talk school choice as well. How are you doing this morning, Dr. Clark?
So, I could not be better. Y'all are, I swear, congratulations, Joe Thomas. Congratulations, Virginia. Congratulations, America. I hope this is the beginning. I hope y'all are the epicenter.
Well, but it's got to be on the candidate. So, it can't just be some guy waking up and saying, wow, I've been a lifelong Chamber of Commerce, you know, endorsed Republican, that you know, just says all the right things. I'm going to try to be more Youngkin-y, because we saw that with Trump as well. We saw lifetime Republicans trying to act Trumpy, and it's not an act. It's be yourself. You've got to be yourself. You've got to be authentic, and I think that's what a lot of our erstwhile elected officials struggle with, is being authentic.
Well, you're in the state, and I'm just watching from the outside as much as I can. I think the brilliance of Glenn Youngkin's campaign was he did not allow the Democrat to pick the issues. He chose his issues. He fought on his terms, and he prevailed. And that's something that the Republicans need to take a lesson from.
Well, let me insert something real quick there. He didn't just pick his issues. He picked his issue, and it traditionally had been a Democrat's issue.
Yes.
And so I'm sure there was a consultant at some point saying, Glenn, you can't do this much with it. No. Transgender. No, Glenn, we don't want to talk about transgender. You're a Republican. I mean, and I know that conversation happened somewhere, and he blew it off and said, no, we're going to do this. And it's a tightrope. You can't just wing it, but he did it, and that's to his credit. But it wasn't easy. I mean, it was like 60,000, 70,000 votes at the end of the day that separated them. It's not like it was a 10-point pounding or anything like that.
Right. So, school choice. You know, if you want to do something transformative for the state and for the country, school choice has got to be a place to start. Think about it, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the nearest big box store to you? Don't name it, but where is it? How far away?
Maybe 10 minutes drive.
Maybe 10 minutes. Five, is, yeah. is there another big box store 20 minutes away somewhere?
Sure.
If you were only allowed to shop at the biggest box store that's 10 minutes away, and everybody had to shop at the big box store that was closest to them geographically, would the service you got at the big box stores diminish?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, you talked about for a minute the private schools. I don't know about private schools in Charlottesville. I know about private schools in Alabama. I know that there are some private schools where you can spend more money than the state and the federal government pays for a child to go to public school, but the vast majority of them spend about a third
Okay.
of what it costs a child to go to a public school. And, you know, public school's not free. I'm paying for it, whether I got a kid there or not. Mm-hmm. So, And the whole reason we pay for kids to go to school is so we benefit as a society, right? So let's work on getting bang for our buck.
Sure. We have to look at it. We can't just look as taxes as death and taxes. Taxes are us chipping in for things we all agree we need. It's like you're going out to a restaurant and everyone chips in for dinner because you're all going to eat. It's going to be nachos and whatever else is out there, hummus, and you're all going to be picking at it. So you don't say, well, you had the fish sticks. And we all chip in and we pay the tab. And that's how taxes work, is we're all chipping in for stuff like fire trucks and schools and, Kevlar vests for our police officers.
You make it to where money follows the child, and schools have to become competitive.
Yeah.
They have to compete for children. Now, how are they going to compete for children? Academics is one thing. Safety is the thing. Maybe sports programs. That probably shouldn't be at the top of the list, but some places it's going to be high. And values and morals that reflect the parents of the children go to the school. Those are pretty much how you're going to compete, right, Joe?
Mm-hmm. And you break up gentrification because, there's one thing that liberal and conservative borderline libertarian economists both agree on. And it's the rare thing that as long as you fund your education with property taxes, you're going to have gentrification and you're going to have failing schools. So why do we keep doing it?
Right. So do Division I college football programs compete for the best coaches?
Yeah, pretty much.
They're highly valued. Somebody that can perform, you want them, right? So you create competition for children, you're going to create competition for the best administrators. Once you've achieved that, schools are going to compete for the better teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and teachers are going to be rewarded commiserately for that.
Yes. Complacency will no longer be expected. Performance will be expected.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have better educated kids, better performing schools. Now, where are you going to get the biggest pushback on this?
The union.
Why?
Because they lose their power structure, their latticework of power is we get to assign the teachers, we get to decide which teachers get rewarded and how much. But you want to know something, and I've got to run to break here. We got more folks on the line on this post-election day, Dr. Clark. But I was talking to the folks out in Nevada, depending on how you pronounce it, what part of the country you grew up in. But in Nevada, they did a Money Follows the School Choice program. And I was talking to the delegate to their house that got it through. He said, you know what they found interesting was that all the parents that showed up to sign up for it had bumper stickers from the delegates that had worked the hardest against it. So these were families, and it was an opportunity for the conservatives to go out and say, hey, you voted for somebody who was dead set against you being able to do this. Really? And that's what I think Glenn Youngkin did, is he went there, took their lunch money and their lunch on top of it. If we're smart, we will continue to do that. But I appreciate it, sir. You have a God bless morning.
I'll interject one last thing. I fish with a school teacher on the weekends, and talking about the protests in Loudoun County, you know what his comment was? Almost tearfully, he said, I wish I had parents that would show up to protest.
Yeah, amen.
Avoid the traffic. Listen for reports all morning and whenever there's an accident on Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
Affordable health care here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Everybody's entitled to a world-class education here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and we are going to continue that fight tonight and every day going forward.
Yeah, that's it. Terry McAuliffe in his not concession speech saying something cryptic.
We're going to continue to count the votes because every single Virginian deserves to have their vote counted.
You know, notice he didn't say every single living Virginian. Or every single Virginia citizen. You didn't say those things, but the the margin of error is now beyond, and there will be challenges. He didn't hire Mark Elias for $50,000 to hang around and drink Wawa coffee for a week. Let's just put it that way. Let me get to you at 434-964-1075. Good morning. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Austin.
Good morning, Austin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I am enjoying things down here in Knoxville, Tennessee, but I called to congratulate you guys in Virginia for the win last night. I stayed up with you till midnight with a friend. We were texting back and forth as results came in, as you were commenting on things, and we had a good time. But like you, we're like, it's after midnight. We just need to go to bed.
Well, and then in like 10, 15 minutes, as soon as I hung it up, I get a flag from his campaign staff saying, "Hey, we're calling it soon, and we're going to have addresses." So I don't think Dave Ramsey was on for half an hour before I had to come back in and cut into programming for the acceptance speeches. But what do you think about a guy that says, you know, that addresses school choice in a gubernatorial acceptance speech? I mean, that was stunning because you never, ever hear that.
Well, my friend and I, we have been really disappointed in Republicans, both in the state of Virginia, local and statewide, and nationally especially, for not making school choice a huge plank of the party platform for the last, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7 years at least. And not this, you know, I went to the prom, but I had to bring my mom version of school choice, but full-fledged school choice, you know, charter schools, private schools, the money follows the student, let the parents make the decision.
No, absolutely. And what
and
Austin
we thought for years that was a very winning position for Republicans. So to hear, I've not heard Youngkin's speech personally, but I've read excerpts, but to see that, I hope he really, really pushes for it, especially since the GOP flipped the House. You know, I mean, yeah, you don't have the Senate, but you can start laying that groundwork.
Well, he has the tie-breaking vote, and there are gettable senators on this. You know, so there
I don't know what it is in Virginia, but I know, like, in New York City, it's like 70%, 76% of minority parents are for school choice and more charter schools. You know, so if that's New York City, it's got to be comparable to what it is in Virginia.
Without question. School choice, money follows the child's school choice. Every place it's been tried and applied, the public schools get better, the parents are happier, and Republicans gain inroads in Latino communities, especially Latino communities. What are they predominantly? Catholic and family-oriented. So now you're saying to the family, you're in charge, and you can go to a parochial school that may more fit your religious beliefs if you want to. And so when you look at Charlottesville, and they spend $13,000 on average per student, and I think I can't remember whether it was Tandem Friends or I don't think it was St. Anne's, but you know, a couple of Blue Ridge School are well less than that. So you have choices without even having to go all that far. Now you're talking about, you know, and I was warned years ago. My friends at the Virginia Institute for Public Policy took me aside, and the great John Taylor and his wife Lynn, who still runs the joint, took me aside and said, be careful of this Virginia General Assembly. They're going to pass what they call school choice, and it's not going to be school choice, but they'll call it that. And then every time you bring it up to them after that, they'll say, no, we did school choice. And sure enough, if they weren't, I mean, almost word for word prescient on it, they did this scholarship fund, which is tax deductible, tax incentivized for companies to give a scholarship fund. Okay, that's fine. But you still need the Department of Education's approval to tap into it. So it's not school choice. It's just another government entitlement program that we've just created a new way to get corporations to give us some targeted money for it. It's not school choice, but they call it school choice. It's the Opportunity Virginia, whatever it is. But you ask a Republican, and they will tell you, Austin, oh, no, we did school choice like back in the early 2000s. No, we don't need to worry. I don't know what Glenn Youngkin's talking about. He's talking about like what they have in Arizona, like what they had in Milwaukee and Florida and that kind of thing, and in Washington, D.C., which was so popular that Malia and, oh, gosh, I'm forgetting Barack Obama's other daughter, President Obama's daughters, when they found out that his executive order was going to kick half their friends out of the school they went to, I mean, they went lobbyist, full-on lobbyist on Dad, and said, Dad, we're told that if you sign this thing that ends the D.C. scholar, the D.C. school choice program, half of their school friends. So think about that a second. Here are kids who, without the voucher program, without the money follows the child, were able to send their kids to school with the children of the president of the United States, regardless of his politics. So here are the first daughters in school with the daughter of some single mom who's waiting tables or working as a data entry, just trying to make ends meet because of the D.C. Opportunities Voucher Program. That's the beauty of this, of the ideas of this. And Barack Obama himself sells it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, I think it would also solve one of these problems that, they talk about the fracture in society, the stratification of society,
Yeah.
Where the elites, knock them or not, they go to the same schools, they're in the same social circles, they go to the vacation in the same places and stuff like that. They don't interact with, the unwashed masses. The mm-hmm. unwashed masses don't interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're inside the unwashed masses, you have your circle and you go to your place and stuff like that. And outside of something like a draft or something like that, where you're just going to throw people together randomly and make a cohesive whole, I think the schools are your next best place, because if you have school choice, it's no longer, you're not necessarily limited by your zip code or your neighborhood. It's like, hey, my parents wanted to send me to a parochial school, and well, gee, look, there's the mayor's kid. And I've got, like you said, I'm friends with a kid whose mom's a waitress and whose dad's a plumber. My dad's a middle manager, my mom's an accountant. The kids would get more exposure to, the other side of life, so to speak. And, who knows if they would remember some of these lessons, 20, 30, 40 years down the road. But it's a lot better than what we're doing now.
Oh, yeah, without question. I got to run to break, Austin. Good stuff, my friend. I'm glad you downloaded the app and listening down there in Tennessee.
Yep. Hey, congratulations, you guys. And it was a nail biter, but if only Fairfax can get its act together.
Yeah. Don't leave that thumb drive next to a magnet next time.
Like us. Follow us. Just don't touch that dial.
You don't know where that finger's been.
Charlottesville's homepage, Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.